Welcome to the way freedom flies. I'm Anthony. I hope that you've all had a very blessed week. It's been interesting here, especially in Wisconsin. We had our election April 2nd. So that was a fun ride. There's a lot of referendums, school referendums across the state. There was two questions, I should say, on the state as well. And those actually passed, which was a good thing. Basically banning Zuckerbucks and also making sure that you have to be a election official to be able to be working there. You can't fake it. There was an incident here in Green Bay that I think that's mostly taken from. So that was all good. Progress here in Wisconsin, still not the voter turnout that I had hoped. And I was talking to a friend, talking to him a little bit, and he was mentioning the voter turnout. And one thing that came to mind is he said the conservatives didn't come out to vote. And I was thinking about this. Is it conservative if you don't go out and vote? Granted, you have a right to not go out and vote. You could do that. Now, me personally, I think that you should actually go and vote. Even if you don't fill in anybody or anything else, you should go cast your ballot. Because actually, that would be conservative. Because part of the conservative side of things would be to conserve what is already there, right? To protect what is already there, to protect what it is. And if you aren't doing that, well, guess what? We have a problem. And I think that's what we're getting into. I do see the side. I will not just move on without addressing this, which is that I get Rhonda McDonald's, McDaniels, I know I'm calling her names, but when you operate the RNC as badly as she did, you take all the money to say we're going to protect the vote. I think a lot of people are looking for a way out and looking for a solution, and here they are, they're sitting at home. Now, I will argue that we should still go out and vote, and we should still continue down that path that we have to correct it. I get it. It's not exactly actual whatever else, but we have to go out and vote and overwhelm so that we have a chance that, you know, God will be in our favor and we'll be able to turn things and have an opportunity to make sure that the laws get rock solid and voter fraud gets prosecuted. Because right now, it seems like nobody wants to prosecute voter fraud. They just want to prosecute the people that are going to be law-abiding citizens. It is interesting to see what it is going through and how we're going to lead up to this election. So, well, we see here Donald Trump was in Grand Rapids, Michigan, and then he was here in Wisconsin. And, well, what we got was a snow in areas, which, my grass was green 2 days ago, and it's completely white today. So it's snow all over the state. But, again, we're in Wisconsin, or I'm in Wisconsin. Maybe you are in a nice warm area, and you can rub it in that your spring has came and mine decided to revert back to winter. But again, this is Wisconsin and I love it here. It is fun to see. It's fun in Wisconsin. I would say that. I got all four seasons sometimes in the same day or 2 days. So anyways, we're going on. I was listening to, who was it today? Mark Dice, I think. Yeah. Mark Dice went through and, he was talking about Stephen A. Smith. And so it'll be fun to see how this all kind of leads up to the election. Because as I look at it, right, you're seeing the numbers and you're seeing how more and more people are moving away from the Democratic Party, right? Especially blacks, they're moving away, And I've seen some crazy stuff where I was going through the Hodge twins. I follow them on Twitter, and the Hodge twins tweeted something out that it's the black man's the new white man, or the, no, what was it? Black men are the white men of black people. I'm like, it doesn't even make sense. And the Hodge twins, go check them out. They made fun of it, as they tend to do, about how crazily stupid that is. But, like, where is this stuff coming from? And why are there all these weird articles and everything else? You know, one thing I think about is, you know, with how bad the economies and everything else is, what levers are they going to push or pull? What levers are they going to pull to try to get this going in their favor? I do think that there's going to be something economically that they're going to pull that is going to try to sway voters. Now, on Stephen A. Smith, right, he said something, well, the economy's going with Trump. Trump's connecting with us. And all of a sudden, as in the Mark Dice video, they go down, or he goes down the route of saying, you know, I wouldn't vote for Donald Trump because of the person that he is, or so whatever. And I'm seeing, you know, former ESPN host interviewing Joe Biden, and that looked completely scripted. You know, I'm seeing some of this. And it just seems like that they are trying to set this up as, hey, there's nothing wrong. That your deceiving eyes are there. Your deceiving eyes are, you know, not telling you the truth. And they're just kind of forcing this down. At some point, are they going to do some scare tactics in the hopes that people just ignore what is going on? That is one thing I have thought about a lot is, you know, a friend of mine that has mentioned this, he goes, he's waiting for the Democratic scare tactics. Now, what is interesting is that there was an article also I was reading that the Democrats are not getting out the vote and registering voters as aggressively in inner cities and at college campuses as much as they have in the past. And while that is a very interesting data point. And it's just a data point. We got to take it as information, right? We have to take and address everything out there as information, right? The information is out there, just like, you know, there's a Bible that we should all adhere to, which is good information. But we have to take the information that's out there and assess it. Now, this could be, hey, you know, they're a little scared that when they register somebody to vote, they're going to go vote for, you know, Donald Trump instead of their Führer, Biden. But, why would they slow down if they didn't think that there would be a good result out there? You know, even if there was, and maybe there's a disconnection of the scare tactic that they might do and the registering to vote, and they don't want people to register to vote against them now in the hopes that they won't show or... just if you don't register them, the hopes that they won't show up at the polls. These are sort of things that are going through my head a little bit. And, you know, I'm taking it all with a grain of salt. I'm trying to go through it all. But it is something I have not, you know, ignored. It is something that I've gone through and I've been, you know what, where is this? Where is this going? Because I do want to win. I am not one of those voters that votes for the winning side. I'm one of those voters that wants my way to win, my side to win. So when I go out and doing it, right, I'm assessing what the best information is, who is, you know, aligning with me, you know, in the godly realm, and going off of those values as close as possible, and or, you know, sometimes, you know, a write-in is necessary or just leaving it blank. But, you know, somebody here that is going to make it and bring back those, you know, or help establish a bring back of the Christian values that we need in this nation. As the Christian values have eroded, we have gone away from the ability to have a good foundation in this country, and we just erode, and people are going crazy, I would say. So there's a lot of that going around of how do we correct this, and I think more and more people are looking for a solution to this, are looking for, you know, stopping the immigrations. You know, you had the Mexican president come out and say, Biden, we want $10 billion. Why was that? I mean, if that really happened, and let's just go if for right now, let's not say it definitely did. Let's do hypotheticals. Let's be there. I'm pretty sure it did probably happen, but let's just do hypotheticals just because I want the whole example to be a hypothetical here. What should have been Biden's response? What should have been any president's response in that situation? You're threatening me with everything else. USMCA has, you know, been done. You're not stopping any illegals across your border. You're just letting it, you know, come on through and just keep on trucking, right? So what I would have liked, what I would have seen, is you would have put a tariff on these people. You would have put a tariff on Mexico and said, hey, Mexican president, you know what? You want $10 billion? Well, we want you to stop coming across the border, stop just getting all our car companies that are supposed to be staying here, and we're going to put a tariff on all goods from Mexico. China decided to get around because some of the tariffs build in there instead of building their car company here in the United States. And everything there, all goods will have a tariff. We'll start at 25% or something. Pick a number that is reasonable. And let's say the Mexican president would have been came back and said, no, that's not acceptable. I still want the 10 grand. Well, the tariffs are already enacted, so they're there, and we're going to be upping them every day until you agree to shut down, you know, people coming across your border onto ours. You have a smaller access border down there. Make sure you're shutting it down. Anybody that you send across, we will deem that as you trying to invade the United States, and you are aiding this, and I want it completely shut down. Why wasn't that aspect of it? Now, that's called negotiating, right? Using the tools you have to negotiate or have the negotiating power. We're not doing proxies. We're not doing any of this other stuff. We're going right at the source. I mean, you take a look at it. Our government officials, when Trump was in office, he said, we're going to have the best negotiators. Guess what? He got the best negotiators. But you look at who we have in office and how they're negotiating, I don't think Republicans know how to negotiate. I think Republicans just go along to get along. And we know Democrats are, I don't know if they know how to negotiate. I think they fall into the negotiating window of power because the Democrats just agree. I don't know if you've noticed this, but, you know, a lot of the budget stuff that, or continuing resolutions that have happened are just that. They just get, you know, thrown in our faces. They get accepted. They get, you know, Republicans are just, yeah, we're agreeing with the Dems. The Dems, you know, most push was to shut down the government. Why didn't the Republicans say, I take you up on that? Shut down the government. Are they so worried that people are going to be upset at them? Really? Most of your base were going to be okay with a shutdown. And the worst case scenario is that, well, I should say the worst case scenario, if there was people like you and I, you know, being the ones that talk about this, would have been, you know what, this is just a, you know, what the Democrats want to do is shut down the government. Are they worried that the shutdown of the government would have actually looked like a good thing? And they wanted to keep the government running because they didn't want to be on the losing side of that? because, you know, you shut down the government a little bit, it probably could stifle inflation if you kept it shut down long enough until you guys would probably negotiate that everyone gets their back pay. No. We're spending too much already. Like, use the negotiating power that you have. Okay, we'll shut it down. We want the border closed 100%. We're going to pass additional laws to make sure that we want the border wall 100% built in this bill. Done. If you want us to pass it, that's the way it's going to be. Instead, they just go throwing their pork, throwing their earmarks. I was taking a look at it, and who had this? I was talking to somebody here. Who was it? Now I got to look it up. But they were going through and talking about the cruise control of our spending. So the mandatory spending of what's on there. And that's just basically on autopilot. In 1962, the mandatory spending, and this is from E.J. Antonia. Real E.J. Antonia on Twitter. And he goes, he's saying the federal budget's on a collision course. I would say the federal spending is on a collision course. They don't technically have a budget, right? They can only get money in, you know. They don't have a set amount of money that they already know is coming in. It can vary. So, whole thing on that a different time. But we have a net interest, which is right now. So 1962, let's start there. The net interest on the debt in 1962 was 6.4% of the total spending of the U.S. budget. The discretionary was at 67.5%. And then the mandatory was at 26%. Now, granted, this is all percentages. And back in 1962, we were spending a lot less money. Now, this is all according to the whitehouse.gov is the source. And this is on the heritage.org is where he got the image from. Now, if we go a little bit further down, we can go to, let's say, today. Or I guess it's 2029 is the last part of this. But it looks like today would be even higher in some scenarios. But let's just go through on this from the White House to 2029. So if 2029, 14.3% would be on the net interest. Or I should say 2029, 14.3%. And that looks like on this graph pretty close to today as well. Discretionary would be 24.5%. So about a quarter of that is discretionary for 2029. And it looks like today is roughly about that same percentage there as well. And then in 2029, 62.3% would be the mandatory, which in this diagram says, or graph says, autopilot. Now, if you take a little bit closer look, that is about the same percentage as today. So our mandatory spending has increased from 26.1% of the total budget to 62.3%, while our budget has also grown immensely during that time. And, you know, this guy, while he has it out there, he says that he makes this point, right? And EJ does very well written up there as well. He says that the collision course on Americans, most of the spending on autopilot will continue to grow out of control, even as Congress cuts discretionary spending to the bones. And don't think we can inflate our way out of this by devaluing the dollar further. Much of the mandatory spending is indexed to inflation. And he goes on, we don't have money for energy boondoggles or more welfare or to pay off corrupt oligarchs in Ukraine or to give to Israel. We don't even have the money to lend. Bill is coming due, and today it moves to the bond market, indicates that we may not have much more time. And he credits David A. Ditch on Twitter as well for this graph. I agree. And if you go back in some of my podcast here, you will have heard me mention this exact thing, where I think we are on a runaway train and Congress does not understand that they will have to make the hard choices. The hard choices of today are much easier than the hard choices of tomorrow. If you've all been something like that, or if you've all been in debt or something like that, where it's just a lot of spending and you have to correct it, it's much easier to get your house in order when you're $10 in debt than when you're $100 in debt. And it's much easier at $100 in debt than when you're $1,000 in debt. And it's much easier at $1,000 in debt than when you're $100,000 in debt and your payments now just don't, they eat up too much of the money you're spending in and you have to make crucial cuts on the way back. Deficit spending does work and allows you to get a lot of stuff. However, when you want to keep that stuff down the road and keep the spending at the same levels you have been, it does not work great down the road. And this is something that needs to be corrected sooner than later. This is where I suggest, or have preached, or have annoyed all my listeners. I do apologize. I think that we are trying to do the right thing. But this is where I like to see more and more people that are in Congress that want to be elected go through and have a backbone. Have a system of saying, this is what I believe in. I get it. You may have had a blackmail against you, but at some point, I think we do need to state, or, you know, you may have to just open up and confess that you do have something like this and what it is. I made a mistake. Hopefully it's not so bad that it's not incriminating to a prison sentence or something like that. But if it is, you're going to have to admit to it. We've just seen P. Diddy, who, you know, you're innocent till proven guilty, but that whole thing is going to come to a head and we can see, you can speculate if the government's actually going to do the right thing and hold people accountable for stuff, or if the government's covering it up, right? There's that sort of thing. But what I'd like to see is people get elected that are biblically based and that are willing to stand on that, and be, when there is a mistake, they admit to it. Hopefully it's all, you know, not blackmail stuff. Hopefully it's like, you know, I made a mistake at, you know, believing I should have voted for a bill that I read that was this, but it's something else. There are bad things that if somebody were to do and they're being blackmailed for because it was an illegal or just a horrible thing, that you could see them making a bad decision based upon what they were forced to. And that at that point, you're not really qualified to be even in office, right? You should be able to do the right thing. Did I mention this last week where I called up my representative and said, when he voted no on the extra spending, and I was shocked, and I said, well, good job. You have to tell, you know, we call up our representatives and tell them when they're doing something wrong, which, you know, granted, it's every day, right? We have to make a lot of phone calls for that. But do you actually call them up when they're doing something good and tell them that they've just done something good? We need positive they need positive reinforcement as much as negative reinforcement, because they're, you know, when they do something good, it's so infrequent. Maybe if we all call them up and said, you did something good today, and granted, it only happens, you know, once a year, at least maybe that once a year, they'll get the point of, well, they're willing to tell me when I do something good. It's just they call me and tell me I do a lot of stuff bad. Maybe I should just start doing all the good stuff and going through. I don't know. At this point, I'm willing to try anything, because if we're electing people that have no competence, or are just, you know, evil doers, they're going to keep doing on the evil stuff and just keep screwing the American people. And I don't feel like wandering in the desert like the Israelites did for 40 years. I think that we should try to get through some of this stuff and get to the other side of it so that we can have the best ability to get on the other side. So that's what I'm trying to work towards, and I hope that we're getting there. Now, you know, like I mentioned, Wisconsin's election, there was school board and everything else. It's still a mixed bag here in Wisconsin. I will say this. I was talking to my friend, as I mentioned earlier in the podcast, I would like to see more people get out and vote, especially the conservatives, especially those people that are supposed to be based in, rooted in their biblical stance. Those people should be getting out to vote and being the base for everybody. If you are not, you know, willing to go out and have the ability to sit there and be the base, then, and you're willing to sit on the sidelines, while you have a voice, your voice is invaluable because you're not willing to do the basic work to be in the position to be able to conserve and be a conservative, to be able to help restore this nation back to the conserving values that we will all like to have. It's that simple. I say it's that simple, and they'll tell you a whole bunch of caveats. But, you know, for the basics of this, no, I don't have any caveats today. But for the basics of this, right, you go out and vote. You are the biblical Christians that are here that are willing to stand on something and have value, and you should be going out and vote. I called up a friend, right, yesterday. He went out and voted, right? A lot of people that I know went out and voted. I will continue to push people to vote because I, even in all the fraud, I think that still voting and casting your vote is still the basics, because once we get it corrected, you still got to go out and cast your vote. Once we get it corrected, you still have to go out and cast your vote. So get in the habit of doing it anyways. I don't care that it was snowing and coming down. I don't care it was raining a whole bunch before the snow came down. I'm still going out and voting. And that's what I did. It didn't matter to me what it was going to be, rain, snow, shine, tornado, whatever. I'm going to the polls. We don't have hurricanes here in Wisconsin, but so I don't have to deal with those. But I am going and voting. And my friend, he's one of them, went on and voted. We talked beforehand. He wanted to make sure what the questions were and everything else. And I'm open for a phone call. You know, if they want to know what's going on, I'm willing to do that. Why? Because I want to make sure that I'm giving whatever information they need so they can make the best choice possible. I'm there to be able to help out others. And I hope other people that like to go into politics are there for their friends and family and anybody else that's willing to come for them to have the questions to be answered. Because if we are friendly and we open up and we start answering questions for people, people may be willing to more go out and vote because they're more informed of what's actually going on and more informed about what is actually on the ballot. And they don't have to go through and dive through maybe what might be confusing or what the questions actually mean, or how, you know, the government decided to word a question so poorly that nobody could even understand it, and you need, you know, 5 days and four study groups and, you know, four talking sessions just to figure out what exactly happened in the question. Let's offer that information out for free. Let's get that information out there. Maybe I do have to get a website going and be able to help out and maybe make it easier for that. But if I were to do something like that, I need more, you know, people to be able to participate and want to put information into it, because I think we need a area where people, conservatives, and everyone can go and say, hey, these are what these people do. Are they actually standing up for biblical values? Are they actually wanting to support and put America first and put God back into where he belongs, is, you know, the center and what we look up to in our lives, and rather not look to the humans and government for the solutions. We should be looking for God's solutions. And maybe there needs to be a website or something else that does, and that's something that people can, or something people can look at. But let's be the basic, and let's be something that everyone can be part of, so that when we do get this corrected, we can be the base and we can grow at a faster rate. With that, I want to say thank you so much for listening to The Way Freedom Flies. Listen to my little ranting here every week. I do appreciate it. Man, I am praying for everybody out there. I hope that you all are going to have a great week. And until next time, God bless.